the din of a beitza if we're talking about the beitza being attributed back to its source. So its source being either Eiver Menachai or Nevela, so then in such a case, then it, unless you really, really detach it from the Nevela, unless you detach it fully from the Eiver Menachai, so then in such a case it's a Davar Meguna. Over here, we're not talking about that. Over here, what we're talking about is an issue of Basar Of Bechala, and so therefore we'll revert back to the more basic rule, and that is that here maybe exactly we could use what you had said, and that is there's no Davar Meguna for a Beitza to be eaten with Chalav. And so if it resembles a Beitza, that's going to be enough for us to be made on. That's how the Shita Mikubet says in Baba Kama formulates it. What's that? Mem Zayin Amar Alf. Shita Mikubet says Mem Zayin Amar Alf. I did, just to spell what Zaki had said, I also originally read the Teretz of Shach that way, and that is that when it comes to Basar V'Chalav, you need to prove that each one of them is basar and chalav. If you haven't proven that they're chalav, so that it's basar, then in such a case it's going to be mutter. In contrast to Eiver Menachai, its status, its previous chazaka was Eiver Menachai. The third teretz the Shach gives is a very fundamental yisod. The afogad lo chashu basar mikol makom achilu chalav mamishu asim mishum eiver menachai in lav the galagon pran eretz zavas chalav rash gudil il simin peyav vim kain mihi the galagon pran the chalav shari hanim mishum the ena mechuber mishum davar the ena parish menach basar. So the Shach points out very, very beautifully, and that is that in simin peyav, if we're going to take a look at that sugya. In Siman Pei Aleph, the halacha is that milk is not considered Eiver Menachai simply because of Gzeres HaKasav. That there's Gzeres HaKasav that Chalav is Mutter. And therefore, you need a Gzeres HaKasav to tell us that something is not Eiver Menachai. Or you're going to need to be definitively, absolutely definitively sure that it's not considered part, but it's not going to be considered basa. However, when it comes to continuing the Shach, Avo Beitzim, Uros, and Mechubaros, Vadai B'Yisurayu Kaini. But when it comes to the Beitzim, so then they're certainly in their state of Isur. In other words, when it comes to Chalav, we have Gzeres HaKasav. When it comes to Beitzim, so then it's certainly considered Eiver Menachai. In other words, you have, according to the Shach, you have this fantastic phenomenon that the Beitzim are still considered Eiver Menachai, even though it's not going to be considered halachically Basar for Basar B'Chalav. Why? Because you need to create a chalos, you need to create a change of the meat to no longer be Eiver Menachai. However, when it comes to Basar B'Chalav, it could very well be that you have an item that's no longer basar, but still considered eiver from the chai. It's an egg. It's already an egg. But it's not an egg that's detached from the chai. It's still considered eiver min achai. So this is a very, very fascinating lamdusha phenomenon that the shach creates. So that is the last teretz, and that's a very, very exciting teretz. Are you able to hear me, Yehuda and Tzvi? Okay, fantastic. We hear you. Great. Okay, fantastic.
She just went to the recording. Thank you so much.
Okay. They say at what Tzvi, but then we don't have Tzvi. All right. There's a way to get Tzvi.
I recorded.
The Zoom is net went down, and that one now came back up and went down. And I don't think we had a recorder today. Okay, so this is the Shach in Sifkatan test. Now, let's go to Siv
Vav, like 5 minutes.
And begin the sugya of Chol and Mechol, and then see the fascinating application that the Shach does to the sugya from Mechol. And the Chaver Pei Zayin Vav says as follows: Hamavushon v'hamavushol b'chamei Tveria. If someone steams and someone cooks with the Chamei Tveria, the springs of Tveria, ain lokin alav. V'chein, hamivashel basar b'meichalav. And also if someone cooks with meichalav, o b'chalav mesa, o b'chalav zachar, o shabit, and we'll get to that, bishal dam chalav shortly. In all those cases, that's not considered chalav d'oraisa. Meichalav is not considered chalav d'oraisa. The Beis Yosef points out that the Gemara already darshan that the chalev imo and not mei chalav. So first of all, we have to define what mei chalav is. So the best definition that we have of mei chalav is found in the Beis Yosef in Simin Pei Aleph. We have a definition over there. And in the outline, I also put down the clearest way to define these things. Actually, it's a little bit confusing because the usage in Pei Zayin is a little bit different than Pei Aleph. When Chazal speak about Nisyu Bei Chalva means the part of the milk that is separated from the milk itself and is more watery. It's more watery. That's referred to as either Nisyu Bei Chalva or Mei Chalav. What's that? Nisyu vechalva is mechalav. There in Pei Aleph, there's also something else that's, let me erase that. There are two different types. Let's start with Pei Zayin, how the usage is made in Pei Zayin. Nisyu vechalva is the leftovers of the chalav. Mei mechalav is what's cooked from the Nisyu Bei Chalva. Okay? So when the Mechaber says Mei Chalav, okay, that's referred to as Mei Chalav in Simin Pei Aleph. In other words, what does that mean? Nisyu Bei Chalva is when you have cheese and the cheese congeals. So then the congealed part of the cheese produces Nisyu Bei Chalva. That's Nisyu Bei Chalva. That's what the Mechaber spells out in Simin Pei Aleph. If you cook that Nisyu Bei Chalva and you separate that again, you'll get Mei Chalav, that's referred to over here in Pei Zayin, or Mei Chalav, and that's what referred to in Simin Pei Aleph. Okay. So now, we have Mei Chalav that's not considered part of the chalav itself. That again is that if you have Nisyu Bei Chalva, where you have cheese that had congealed, then it separates into milk. If you heat that up and you separate the chalav from the mei chalav, that's what's referred to as mei chalav over here. Mei chalav is considered no longer chalav because it's the water and it's not the chalav itself. And therefore, it's not going to be asa midoraisa to cook with that mei chalav. And that's what we have in this halacha. Tov. So that's going to be asar midrabanan. It resembles chalav, but it's not considered chalav itself. So that's our psak that we have in Pei Zayin Vav. Okay. In Pei Aleph Hei, we have, in Simin Pei Aleph Sif Hei, we have the following halacha as well. Pei Aleph Hei, the Mechaber tells us, Mei Ragle Behema, V'chaya Tohra, V'chalav, U'mei Chalav, Shelehen, Mutter. Here the Mechaber is talking about Eivar Min Achai. And the Mechaber says, if we're talking about Eivar Min Achai, so the halacha is, the Gemara tells us, Eretz Zavas Chalav U'Dvash, that Chalav is going to be Mutter, and Mei Chalav is also going to be Mutter. By the way, the best word that I found to translate mechalav would be whey, W-H-E-Y. Okay, so that's mechalav. And then the Mechaber says, not only that, but mei mechalav. And that's why I made clear to you that when we're talking in Pei Zayin, we're talking about mei mechalav. In Pezayin, when we say mechalav, we mean mechalav. And that is going to be mutter as well. What's the mechaber again talking about? He's talking about Eiver Menachai, that you have a question. How could it be that it's mutter to eat chalav? Isn't that Eiver Menachai? So that we learned from the Gzeres HaKosov of Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. Not only is it included in the milk, but also if you congeal the cheese, and the cheese separates into what is called Nesyuve Chalva, what the Mechaber refers to in Pei Aleph as Mei Chalav. So then in such a case, that's also considered part of the milk that's Mutter Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. Now what we have is a fascinating shita at the end of Sif Hei of the Urayim. The Mechaber quotes the Urayim, V'yesh Misha Oser Bazet, that the Urayim was Machmir, and he was Oser on Mei Mei Chalav. In other words, that even though we would argue that's not considered milk anymore, but nevertheless, it should still be considered Eiver Minachai. What's going on? What is this Shita? So this Shita, if you take a look in the Shach on Pei Aleph, Sivkot and Yugimel, the Shach in Pei Aleph Yugimel explains that this is based on the following idea, that the Pasuk says, Eretz Zavas Chalavu Devash. The Chalav has a heter. Chalav is not considered Eiver Menachai. But what happens if we're talking about something that's no longer Chalav? So if it doesn't have the matir of Eiver Menachai, so then it still holds on to its identity as being Eiver Menachai. So this is the Shita of the Urayim. Rav Miller told us that there are some briskers to this day that when they have leaven's not as popular as it used to be once upon a time, but leaven's a form of Israeli yogurt, that they would take off the top layer of the yogurt, because the top layer of the yogurt would be the Urayim Shita, which would be Eiver Menachai. So again, what makes something not Eiver Menachai? So I always thought it reaches a certain point that it's disjoined from the animal, so then it's not Eiver Menachai. But as the Shach points out on the bottom of Sifkotin Yud Beis, that the Gemara in Bechoras and Davav HaMikdeis tells us that the matir is Eretz Zavas Chalav Udevash. So if it's Chalav, then it's Mutter. But what happens if it's no longer Chalav? Then it reverts back to that din of Eiver Minachai. And the Shach has an interesting dimya. The Shach says, just because you could find things that when it's in a certain state, it's going to be mutter, but when it's further removed from the animal, it actually becomes Eiver Minachai. What's his example? He says, Dame Ivarim. If you have blood, when it's in the Avarim of the animal, so let's say in such a case, it's mutter. When it's Piresh, when it is expelled, so then in such a case, it's Aser. So that's the Rosh's Raya for the Urayim. The Shach ultimately in Sifkot and Yigimel and Pei Aleph ultimately points out a svar that you could give to be mechalek. Okay, so that is the background in terms of mechalav and mei mechalav. Now, the Shach, still in Pei Aleph and Yud Beis, the Shach asks Akasha. The halacha is that when it comes to the din of Eiver Menachai, we say that mechalav is considered like chalav, and therefore it's not Eiver Menachai. But what did we learn in Pei Zayin? In Pei Zayin, we said that Mei Chalav is not considered Chalav to be considered Basar B'Chalav. So take a look at the Shach and Sifkot in Yud Beis. It could be some of you don't have it. I apologize in your volume. V'afagav de l'kamon Pei Zayin kasvu atur v'chavad v'ashu Mei Chalav Potter v'im kein lav k'chalav dami v'im kein minol l'mishri. How will we know that's mutter? Yeshlomar de dafka l'inyim Basar B'Chalav l'chashiv k'chalav. So Shach says that you have to say that when we said that Mechalav is not considered like Chalav, it's only vis-a-vis the din of Basar B'Chalav. In other words, because as we mentioned, that we darshan lo savash k'di b'chalev imo, that it has to be k'moshi yotze me'aim. But once it's been cooked, then it's no longer considered and separate from the Chalav, so then in such a case, it's not considered chalev imo. But in terms of the din of Eiver Menachai, it's still going to be considered Chalav for Eiver Menachai, because Chalav for Basar B'Chalav has to be akin to Chalev Imo. Chalav for Eiver Menachai is going to be a different din. So the Shach is creating a lot of fascinating splits, both in Simen Pei Aleph
as well as in Siman Pei Zayin, in terms of the dinim of Eber Min Achai and Basar B'Chalav. Okay, with this in mind, we can now go back to the Shach in Sifkat and Tes. So Shach and Tes says as follows, where we left off, about four lines from the bottom, Sifkat and Tes by us. Ugedola mizu yesh osrim afilu mei mechalav mishum eiver minachai. What was the Shach's question? The Shach's question was in regards to the eggs. That the eggs on the one hand are not considered meat, yet they are considered eiver minachai. How could that possibly be? Says the Shach, that's not a kasha at all, according to the Urayim. Because the Urayim pointed out that you could have mei mechalav that would be considered Eiver Min Achai, yet nevertheless, of course, it would not be considered Basar B'Chalav. Why? Because the din of Eiver Min Achai needs a matir. So you need a matir to be able to eat it. So Beitzim, where it might not be considered meat if it's already the Chelbon and the Chalmon are complete, but it doesn't have the matir to be able to no longer be considered Eiver Min Achai. So on the one hand, it's not considered meat, but at the same time, it's going to be subject to the din of Eiver Min Achai. Just like Mei Mei Chalav is going to be Aser because it's not considered Chalav, even though it's more removed than the Chalav itself. So if Mei Mei Chalav, according to the Urayim, could be considered Eiver Min Achai, certainly an egg that's not entirely developed could certainly be considered Eiver Min Achai. And the Shach points out, the fact that we don't pass him like the Urayim is not a problem. Continuing on the Shach, Unihidalo, Kaimal and Kavase, Mahani Taimish and Svar Lasham. Mikal Makum Vada, the Beitzim Uras, the Kule Alam Siri, Mishum Eiver Min Achai. So even if we don't pass like the Urayim, I guess a word Rev Rosenzweig would use, that the echoes of the Urayim are correct according to everybody, the Shach is arguing. And that is the echoes of the idea that in order to be removed from Eiver Min Achai, you need a matir. And here you don't have a matir. We don't know for sure that's considered an egg that would have a different identity. We haven't proven that. The fact that it's not considered an egg for that's no longer considered meat doesn't necessarily show me that it's no longer considered Eiver Min Achai. It doesn't have the matir of Eiver Min Achai. So a beautiful set of shachs in regards to being matir, the dinim of Basar B'Chalav and Eiver Min Achai. In the Shach Sifkat and Hay, just want to point out, just an important idea. The Mechaber had told us that Dogim, of course, is going to be mutter with Chalav. So the Shach quotes a Levush. The Levush says not to eat Dogim b'Chalav. And this is quoted in the Beis Yosef in Simen Kuf Ayin Gimel because of a Sakana. Simen Kuf Ayin Gimel in Or Chaim. We also have the Halacha not to eat meat with chicken as being a Sakana. Interestingly, that is quoted there in Shulchan Aruch and Kufa and Gimel, and we still have, many have that custom to have a drink in between the two because of the sakana. However, on the sakana of eating milk and fish together, so that the Shach points out that that's not our custom today. The Darke Moshe objects to that, Beis Yosef, and the Shach seems to be sympathetic to that position as well. And he points out that the Gemara in Psachim and Ayin Vav seems to say that the halacha is that it's mutter. There's a long arichus in the Pisrei Tshuva about this, and he concludes the Pisrei Tshuva in the Sifkat and Tes. He concludes v'nirli the idna shekol olam mevashem gam chalav shari v'kima the dashu bei rabim. That's not considered a sakana because it's dashu bei rabim. So that's the bottom line. And of course, therefore, for hashgachos, you will see to this day, you'll go into stores and they will have a fish dish, and it will say, for those who follow the Beis Yosef, that the fish dish is not recommended for this reason, because of the sakana. That's what's behind this. The minig in Ashkenazim is to be mekel. There are many Sfaradim who are machmir based on the Beis Yosef. Okay. In Siv Vav, we had also seen that when it comes to Chalav Zachar, the halacha is that Chalav Zachar is not going to be subject to Basar B'Chalav. So the question is, what is Chalav Zachar? Essentially, there are two possibilities. One possibility is that Chalav Zachar means the Chalav of a animal that is male, that there was some freak of nature, and there was some, from the nipples of a male animal came out milk. The other possibility is it's from a human male. And the Shach discusses both possibilities. Now, the Ramah, we'll get to that shortly, the Shach shortly, the Ramah comments immediately on the Mechaber, that the Mechaber says that's Potter, but it's Mashma, that's clearly Asimid Rabbana. So it comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says, V'chalav Zachar loy mikri chalav klav. Of course, Chalav Zachar, says the Ramah, is not considered Chalav at all. V'mnafal atol k'der shal basar eina oser. It's not going to be oser. Aval Chalav Mesa, u'mei Chalav, oser ma'maychal k'mo Chalav Atzmo. It's still going to be Asimid Rabbana. V'afilu bebishul yesh lesar l'chatchila. So let's focus on the Chalav Zachar over here. So Chalav Zachar is not called Chalav at all. So the Shach is bothered by a question. The Shach is bothered, how can you say Chalav Zachar is not called Chalav at all? He said that we learned that when it comes to Chalav Isha is going to be Aser for Marisayin. And you're not allowed L'chatkila to cook it with Basar. So how could the Ramah say Chalav Zachar is Lo Mikri Chalav Klal? So the Shach is noted, and this is the way that Be'er Heitev explains the Shach in Sivkotan Yud Dalet. The Shach is noted to say the following. He's noted to say that there is really no machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah at all. That the Mechaber was talking about one Chalav Zachar, and the Ramah is talking about a different Chalav Zachar. The Mechaber was talking about the Chalav Zachar of an Isha. So if we're talking about a Chalav Zachar as an Isha, so then, what's that?
I'm
sorry, Chalav Zachar of, okay, let's read the Be'er Heitev inside, that would be best. In Sifkat and Yudalit, let's take a look. Kasav HaShach, Mashmar the Lespe, Afil Yisad Rabbanan, V'Yisav HaHetar, Kasav the Lo Garmi, Chalav Isha. So the Yisav HaHetar asks, what's the difference between the two? So the Rav HaMagid says, Nira the Chalav Zachar, Aser Mid Rabbanan, then it will be Aser. V'nir Lida, Rav HaMagid married the Chalav Zachar Shel Behema. Avel Chalav Zachar the Adam, but it's Chalav Zachar the Adam, Pshita the Lo Garmi, Chalav Isha. Then it's going to be Aser. L'fi Zedere Rav Mechaber, Mashmar the Chalav Zachar, Ein Lokin. So the Mechaber is talking about Chalav Zachar, which would have the same din of Chalav Isha, says the Be'er Heitev. V'divrei ha-Ramah, but the Ramah, shekasav lo mikri Chalav Klal, lo pligei, da Mechaber ma'iri shel behema. The Mechaber is talking about a behema. V'Ramah, ayri shel Adam, and the Ramah is talking about Adam. In other words, that when the Mechaber said his din, the Mechaber was talking about behema. When it comes to Behema, then it's going to be Aser Midrabanan. But when it comes to Adam, so then in such a case, Adam is not going to be subject at all to this din. It's not because it's not considered Chalev Imo altogether. The Shach, though, does conclude, Miu, the Be'er Heitev in the name of the Shach, Miu Af Bishel Adam Aser Chatchil Mishum Maris Ayin. So according to this explanation, when the Ramah said V'chalav Zachar lo mikri chalav klal, he didn't mean in regards to Maris Ayin, Eina Chanami. There still is going to be an Isser of Maris Ayin, but the Mechaber was talking about whether it is going to have a din derabbanan. And again, so the Shach, when he says that the Mechaber said that it's an Isser derabbanan, that was talking about Chalav Behema. And Chalav Behema, even from Chalav Zachar, is going to be an Isser D'Rabbanan, it's not going to be an Isser D'Raisa. From a human being, we saw that both from a woman and from a man, the halacha is that they're not considered Chalav, and that is what the Ramah meant when he said, V'Chalav Zachar, Lo Mikri Chalav Klav. Right. It's the way he said that time. Shkach. Yes?
It's Mashman, there also, right, that there's an Isser Maris Hayim. In fact, he says, Nafa, doesn't say that. Falls, you don't have to be done with it. It's like a bidyavid case. If it falls in, you don't have to ask for it. Mashma, meaning it's the Duke in the Ramah, that it's awesome.
In other words, Zaki is pointing out that the Ramah says, Imnaf al tokidir shal basar. He doesn't say you could cook it with the lechatchila.
Right.
Eina chanami. Right. Good. Okay. So this is in regards to chalav zachar. Okay. Let's go on and begin the Ramaz. So the Rama over here begins certain chumras that we have in Ashkenaz. Says the Rama, Yesh Omrim, the Osir Lachdos Ha'esh, Tachas Kedera Shalgoi, Lefishe Mevashlan Behem Pamim Chalav Pam Basar, Vamechate Tachas Kedera Shalahem, Bali Dei Bishal Basar Bechalav. So Rama says that there are some who say that you're not allowed to stoke the coals under a Gentile's pot because they cook it. At times they cook it with milk, at times they cook with meat. And if you stoke under the coal, you're gonna come to cooking basar b'chalav together. As the Shach alludes to, this Shaila was very, very common. Just to give a little bit of background. Once upon a time, when people traveled, so, and this is clear if you take a look at the Darche Moshe, if they would be people traveling, they would be in hotels, and in hotels, they used to have this large stove. Now, keep in mind, the stove was the center where people would gather. They would gather for two reasons. Number one, there was no central heating, so it was the way people stayed warm, and it was also the place in where people would leave their food to heat up. So, what would happen often is you would have many different people having their own private pots, and those private pots would be sitting under a fire. Now the question is, a Jew has his food. His intention when stoking the coals is to heat up his food. But says Ramah, now you've got a problem. You've got a problem because you have a goy's pot. And in the goy's pot, there you have both meat and milk. And since in the goy's pot you have both meat and milk, so then you're going to have a problem of basar b'chalav. Now, if you notice, the Rama here says lefi she'em mevashlin b'hem pa'amim chalav, pa'amim basar, that there are times that they cook milchiks inside, and there are times they cook fleshiks inside. We're going to need to qualify exactly what did they cook inside those pots. Pa'amim chalav, pa'amim basar. So let's take a look at the Shach Sifkatan Yudches. He points out that this is actually not a Mordechi, it's Hagos Mordechi, and this Hagos Mordechi, the footnotes already tell us, is a Shilte Gibarim in Avodah Zarah. So Mordechi Sham Kasav, She'asa Levashal Basar Bebeis Yisrael B'Kder Shel Goy, that's prohibited to cook meat in the house of a Jew with a pot that belongs to a Gentile, Sheme Yichate Yisrael, because the Jew is going to stoke, and they're going to come to stoke Basar B'Chalav. And therefore, another application of this is that if you have a Gentile that works in your house, that they should have two different pots. Okay. So the halacha is that you're going to have to be careful that you're going to be stoking the coals, not to be stoking under basar b'chalav. And then the Shach adds, miu basar lav dafka. We're not only talking about meat, Elohu adin shardvarm, but it would apply to other things as well. Dezil basar taima. In other words, that even if it's not meat that they're cooking, but any time you have any blios, that also is going to be a problem as well, because you're going to be stoking blios of basar v'chalav. With the Shach then concludes, miu ein bazel chumra bi'alma, vein olam nizarim bazel. But this is a chumra ba'alma. Okay, so what exactly is the Shach call a chumra ba'alma? What exactly is not a chumra ba'alma? And what exactly is the tziur that the Rama is talking about? So the Prima Gadim gives us some information over here. The Prima Gadim in Sifkatan Yud Ches says as follows: Ayin Shach the Ein Olam Nizarim Bazeh the Ein Bazeh Chumra Ba'alma. And he quotes a crazy place. Uladina basa b'chalav yesh bishul achar bishul. He says there will be bishul achar bishul. Umikol makom habilua shebetoch hakdeira basa b'chalav yachad sheifot lechutz v'yispashul lo chashu dezeh lo havi derech bishul avo basar b'kdeira ben yomo mechalav vaday havi derech bishul. So the Prima Gadim differentiates as follows. Prima Gadim says, it depends on what we're talking about. If you're concerned simply of blios, so then in such a case, that's not going to be considered derech bishul. But if you have meat in a pot that's a ben yomo of chalav, so then you're going to have to be machmer. So it seemed that the Prima Gadim is learning the shach as follows. That if you have a case of where you have simply blios, in other words, if you have a goy's pot that has blios of basar b'chalav, or you have a pot in which there's no basar mamish, so then in such a case, then it's only a chumra ba'alma, and the shach says v'ein olam nizarim b'zeh. And maybe that's the pshat in the Ramah, because the Ramah said that where it's aser lachtos eishtachas kedir shel goy, lefisha v'hein mevashim bahem pam chalav pam basar, that in there are pots that they use for both basar b'chalav. So if there are pots that are used for both basar b'chalav, so then in such a case, then it's going to be simply a case of being mevashel the blios. So mevashel blios is not considered derech bishul. However, if you have a case of where there's for sure meat and it's going to be cooked in a milchiga pot, so then in such a case, that's derech bishul. And of course, as you know, the Ramah concludes that these are chumros ba'alma. Maybe the Ramah only said, according to the Prima Gadim, that's chumros ba'alma where it's just a chshash of blios. But where you add meat in a milchiga pot, so then in such a case, that's going to be a chshash of an iser d'oraisa. I mentioned last time that there is a Meritz Chias that disagrees with the Prima Gadim. Meritz Chias holds that it's not considered derech bishul if you cook in a milchiga pot with meat. That's also not considered derech bishul. That's the shita of the Meritz Chias. But it would seem that the Prima Gadim understood the shach this way. And actually, it seems to me the simple pshat in Agos Mordechi. Because the case of Agos Mordechi is, again, to be medayik in the words, he's talking about a case, lefishei mevashim pahem, pa'amim chalav, pa'amim basar. That we're talking about pots that have been used at times for chalav and at times for basar. Okay, so that is the chumrah. Ultimately, the way most read the Ramah is the Ramah is going to say that you could be mekel. It would seem that the shach understands, but if you know that there is meat inside, then in such a case, you even according to Ramah, you'll be machmir. That's how the shach seems to understand. Again, according to Meritz Chias, maybe even in such a case it could be mekel. At least that's the way the Prima Gadim understood the shach. Is that key?
We're not talking about cooking your food inside the pot, even according to. We're talking about just
stoking the coals. Correct, stoking the coals. Now, maybe you were alluding to the famous kasha Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger in Sifkatan Yudalid asks the following kasha. Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, wait a second, why is the fellow stoking the coals? Remember our case. It's a case of a hotel. So at least the Ramah was talking about the case of a hotel. The Shach spoke about a slightly different case. But the case of the Ramah is a hotel. And if we're talking about a case of a hotel, so over there, you're stoking the coals either because you want to heat yourself up or because you want to cook your own food. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger asks a very famous, beautiful kasha. Kasha li asks Rabbi Kiva Eger in Yudalit. Ha'ena mechavim levashel, rach lachtos be'esh, upsik reisha lo havet, d'shem lo bishla anachri bakdera, basar v'gam chalav. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, if you know for sure there's basar v'chalav, so then in such a case, you're going to have a problem. Because even though it's an ena meskavim, it's a psik reisha, we know from Hilchos Shabbos, that's psik reisha, if it's inevitable, so then in such a case, then you don't have the heter of ena meskavim. So if you're dragging a bench on Shabbos, and it might make a hole on the ground, then it's a davar shei meskavim. But if it definitely will make a hole, so in such a case, it's psik reisha. So here, Rabbi Kiva Eger gives the famous chiluk between a safek psik reisha and davar she'ena meskavim. And he suggests psik reisha. And he suggests the following. Tzarech lomar, didafka b'safek d'lahaba, shema lo ye'nasa kein b'maisa shelo k'mo gorev kisa v'safsal, davi safek shema b'gririasa liyasa guma. Avo b'safek d'avar, k'mo hacha dim yesh b'kder zu b'lua b'asa v'chala b'chitui, ze b'vada yispashal. Eladah safek shema ein bo b'liyas b'asa v'chala, ze mikri psik reisha. So the best way to explain it's said over often as a suffik v'sha'avar, a suffik haba. The best way to explain it is whether it's a psik resha or not, based on mitzius, or a question that you need to be mivar the mitzius of the past, or something that you really don't know. Let me explain. In a case of the pot, if you had all the information, it would not be a dover shena miskaven. You're just not sure what the mitzius is. You're not sure whether the guy cooked meat or milk in this pot. So is that considered an eina miskaven? Is that considered an eina miskaven? You're not sure if the guy cooked meat or milk. What's an example of psik resha? Of davar shein miskaven. An example of davar shein miskaven is there's no information in front of you to be able to know what's going to happen. You just simply don't know. So that is an example of a davar shein miskaven. A davar shein miskaven, if you're dragging the bench, you don't know whether it's going to make a hole or not. And it's not something that's been researched and people...
what choser yediyah is. Meaning, at a certain point, it's anyone's yechola to, do a complicated math problem and weigh...
And weigh and so on. Right? Ein hachanami. That's true. But here, it's just simply what we call safek shel sha'avar. The classic example that Rabbi Kiva Eger gives is the case of the flies in the Taz in Hilchos Shabbos. The case of the flies is an instance where a person is closing a chest. Let's say a toy chest. And he's not sure if there are flies inside. So he might say it's an Eina Miskaven. I don't know for sure. So the answer is, and this responds Natan to your question, is you look inside. You'll look inside and you'll be able to see whether there are flies inside.
That helps there or not.
So in this case, you have to say that we're talking about an instance where it's relatively easy to verify whether there was a goy's pot with basar b'challah. But if it's extremely difficult, that's what according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, so then in such a case it would revert back to Eina Miskaven. We're talking about an instance where it would be easy to be mevarah. Just a second, Natan, I just want to finish Rabbi Kiva Eger and then take your ha'aros. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva Eger has two steps. So again, Rabbi Kiva Eger asked, what's the Yisr over here? It's an Eina Miskaven. So Rabbi Kiva Eger answers, no. Rabbi Kiva Eger answers that here we're talking about a case which is something that one could be mevarer. It's a suffix sha'avar. It's a suffix that happened in the past. Now, you could explain suffix sha'avar in a different way. You could explain it more conceptually as well. You could explain that the difference between suffix sha'avar and suffix haba is that if it's a suffix in sha'avar, then it's a suffix in mitzius. And since it's a suffix in mitzius, whether it's hard to be mevara or it's easy to be mevara, at the end of the day, you have, it's no longer a suffix. In other words, the fact is known. Versus a suffix lahaba, it's still in the state of eina miskaven because the future is not known. So you can explain it two ways. Whichever way is your cup of tea is fine with me. The second way is the more conceptual. The first is the more pragmatic way. Either way, Rabbi Kiva Eger is saying that this is not the classic case of Eina Miskaven, and it's closer to the case of the Taz. Yeah, Natan.
I thought another way would be, if we're using like Rav Elchanan broadly, that if Sikresha is a din and das, so there's there's an equal amount of Chisaron and das and Sikresha as Davar Shein Miskaven. But if Sikresha is a din, that there's an intrinsic link between the Maisim. So when it's Lahaba, there's no tzair between what possibly could happen in the future and what I'm doing right now. But when it's Lisha Aver, so if it exists, there's an automatic tzair between those two things, even without doubts.
Very good. Mechamin to a Sefer Netiyas Chayim. I wrote that in my Sefer. So I like that shot very much. I didn't put it in my notes, but yes, I think you're right. That you could be told it in Rabbi Elchanan's Chakir of how Psik Resha works. Is the Pshat and Psik Resha that it becomes one Maisa, or the Pshat is that he's not Mechavim. So Inachanami, in this case, he's not Mechavim, but on the other hand, in terms of being a Maisa, if you, in terms of the Maisa, it definitely is that.
So I would say that even if you can't be Mubarak
Nitzit. In a Hanam, right. That would be the more conceptual way. Yeah. Beautiful. In Rabbi Akiva Eger also then points out that that should be talui in the Shaila Psik Resha Delo Nichale as well. In this case, the fellow, it's a well-known Machlokas Rishonim, what happens if you're not interested in that result, even if it's a Psik Resha? So if we're going to say Psik Resha Delo Nichale is going to be Mutter, so Rabbi Akiva Eger says in such a case, in this instance, it should be considered Psik Resha Delo Nichale, and therefore that would be a tzad to be mekel. Probably, as Rabbi Akiva Eger points out, we're machmir in both categories. We're machmir in terms of psik resha lo nichalei, and we're machmir on suffik psik resha, at least on level of doraisa. At least on level of doraisa, we are machmir even suffik she'avar. And that's how the Mishnah Berurah is machria in the case of the Taz. He says, if it's a din d'rabbanan, you could be mekel. If it's a din d'oraisa, you could be machmir. So Rav Nevin Sal Shlita told me that he thought everything works out very nicely. Because in this case, Rav Nevin Sal argued that, and we saw that the Prima Gadim alluded to this, that it could very well be that this is not considered derech bishul. That this is not, if we're talking about blios, it's not going to be considered derech bishul. So if we're talking about blios, they're not considered derech bishul, so then it'll be very, very good. That Rabbi Akiva Eger is saying that just like the Taz is mekel when it comes to the Rabbanans on Shabbos, so too there would be room to be mekel according to the Taz as well. Okay. There is an interesting sheet of Chacham Avadya Zatzal. If you take a look at the first page of the booklet, Chacham Avadya gets to Yisod in Hilchos Shabbos. Those of us who were zocheh to learn Hilchos Shabbos last year, this might resonate. On the bottom of page Kuf Mem Gimel in Yichav Edas, he writes as follows: Ubeikar kushias Rabbi Akiva Eger yeshel yashiv shedafka bedinei Shabbos the kaimel mleches machshavas as retar lechein gam kishas safik al over yeshel hakel, that the Taz was only mekel on where there is a mleches machshavas, so you have a safik of whether it's inside the lo chashib sik reisha mashenke gabe basa b'chalav. Something interesting to think about comes to basa b'chalav, there's less mleches machshavas. So then in such a case, then you revert back to whether it was Shaila of a Safik D'Oraisa. And if it's a Safik D'Oraisa, so Chacham Avadya Zatzal suggests, one would have to be Machmer. So that would be an interesting take as far as Rabbi Akiva Eger's question is concerned. Just to plant a seed, Rabbi Akiva Eger plants a seed. He's told also this Shaila about being Chote Tachas the Kederos. He's also told the Shaila with something on another issue. The other issue that he raises is how do we look at a goy's pot? Because at the end of the day, the goy's pot might be an eino ben yomo. So if it's an eino ben yomo, so then it's no sein tam lefgam. So what would the problem be? Because it's not basar b'chalav min haTorah. So that's where Rabbi Akiva Eger concludes in Yud Dalid, and he says as follows: Gam yesh lodin, the stam kli shel nachri. Stam kli of a goy ain't a ben yomo v'lo v'chlal bishul basar b'chalav. That the stam kli of a goy is not ben yomo, and it shouldn't be included in basar b'chalav. V'zeh utalya b'shnei tamim, and that's going to be totally in the two above reasons. D'le tamei d'har Rajba, according to Rajba svar, the stam kli have a svek svek a safik lo bishul klal v'shem lo bishul mayim who adin hachanamike. In other words, the reason why you could be mekel on stam kalim, the Rajba says, is the following sex faker. Number one, that we're not sure if the guy even used it today. And even if he used it, maybe he used it to cook water. So if that would be so he says, then that's enough of a reason to call the Stam Kli Ben Yomo. However, he says, there's another reason why we say Stam Kli is Ben Yomo. The tour says, what's a double suffix? Maybe he didn't cook within 24 hours. Vim Dim Salomer Bishel Shema Pogim Lahach Tavshil. And even if you're going to say that he cooked with it for 24 hours, how do you know that the tam is going to give off good tam into the pot? So now, when it comes to most isurim, that's fine if we're talking about judging whether it's going to make the food asr. But in terms of the isur bishul basar b'chalav, there's going to be an isur bishul basar b'chalav even if it's going to be giving off tam pogum into the pot, that's not going to change the fact that you created basar b'chalav. And then in such a case, according to the tour, the halacha is that it's going to be mutter. Okay, so bottom line is Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that the chumrah of the Ramah is dependent on these couple of issues, and yesh ladun with every step of the way that Rabbi Akiva Eiger had said. Okay, now the Ramah continues, and the Ramah gives us another chumrah, second chumrah of the Ramah. We have four chumras in this Ramah. Od kasav, od kasvu, the ein la'arev mayim shedichu behem kli basar im ha'mayim shedichu behem kli chalav v'litein b'fnei behema v'asurim b'hana. So the Ramah says that if they, in those days they would wash their dishes in a basin, and the water would not go down the drain. They didn't have drains. So what would they do? They would then take the water that was used for dishwashing and give it to their animals to eat, to drink. So here's the shayla. The shayla is you have leftover water that was used for dishwashing, that would have been, the leftover water had water that had washed fleishik dishes and milchik dishes. So now you have over here water that's basar b'chalav. It's water that's basar b'chalav. So the Ramah says it's asar b'hana. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says as follows. He says it must be that we're talking about hot water. Because if it's cold water, then it's not going to be considered asar b'hana. What is basar b'chalav? It's basar b'chalav that is basar and chalav, then heated together. So he says it must be kishedichum b'mayim roschem v'irvam kach roschem, that you mix them together, the water when it was hot, and then in such a case, then it's going to be asar b'hana. In such a case, it'll be asar b'hana. However, Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks Akasha. Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks on the Shach. So far so good. The Shach learned that we're talking about hot water, and that's why it's going to be Asar Anah. If it's cold water, so then in such a case, it wouldn't be Asar Banah because it's not Basar B'chalav. Comes along the Shach, the Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Tezvav, and he says, if that's so, then why would it not be Asar because of Bishul Basar B'chalav, that you're cooking the Basar B'chalav together? It should be Asar for that reason. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eiger gives a genius answer that it'll be my pleasure to discuss with you and say there, because his answer has many, many hashlachos that are entirely irrelevant over here, and we'll leave off Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha as a kasha. It'll be my pleasure to discuss with you some of the hashlachos of Rabbi Akiva Eiger's answer. Rabbi Akiva Eiger's answer is not halacha l'maisa. We don't paskin like his answer, but it's a gishmaka answer. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger has this kasha on the Shach. So if you take a look in the Isser V'Heter, it's in the booklet. Not sure if it was way in the back. No, it's towards the beginning. On the second page, if you take a look in the Isser V'Heter, you'll see the Isser V'Heter appears in Perek Lamed Os Vav. He says, Yesh Matirin Mehai Taima, v'chatchila litein behema mehadacha kli shebishol bo v'cholav sonein b'kli echad kli shel basar v'cholav sonein b'kli echad v'af al pi sheshoru yachad me'es le'es. He says there's some more matir to give your animal the leftovers of the water that was used to wash fleishik and milchik dishes, even though they soak together, because it's mutter b'ana, and also it's not basar b'chalav. V'yesh matirin ligrom miyat sonin basar b'chalav l'chatkilav. V'amachmir shelo l'shalchem b'kli yachad al b'zachar zeh tavo alav bracha. So I think if you read the Isser V'Heter, you'll see that the pshat in the Ramah is not the way the Shach had assumed, even though the Shach definitely had a reason to learn this way. And that is that the case of the Ramah, and this will answer Vicky Vager's question, the case of the Ramah is not talking about hot water. And we're not talking about basar b'chalav d'oraisa. And we're not talking about an isser hana d'oraisa. But rather the isser v'heter is referring to a chumrah, and that is that there used to be machmir not to mix together basar b'chalav at all. Yesh machmirim ligrom miyatzonim basar b'chalav l'chatchila, that they wouldn't mix them together. Why would they not mix them together? Because lest people come to eat it, lest people come to cook it, and that would be the pshat in the Ramah. The Ramah never meant to say the asurim b'hana, that he meant to say hana d'oraisa. But rather what the Ramah said, was referring to, was that we were machmir not to have hana from a mixture of basar v'chalav. And this is consistent to what some of us were talking about in Seder, that there are many minhagim to separate between basar v'chalav extensively. Enochanami, the pshat that I'm saying is not consistent with the Shach. And the Shach was bothered by a problem, because the Shach was bothered that at the end of the day, the Ramah says, asurim ba'ana. So how could be asur ba'ana? So Shach says you must have heeded. So if that's so, comes along with Kiva Eger and says then it should be bishul. So I think the MS is this pshat isser v'heter. How did I come to this pshat with the isser v'heter? There's a fantastic sefer I want to introduce you to that we're going to use a lot for the difficult se'ifim, and that is a sefer Yad Yehuda. Yad Yehuda is a fantastic, fantastic sefer. And in Sif Katan Tezavav, he points out this Eser V'Heter, and he learns essentially the way I had presented. And that is that there's an issue of being goring basar b'chalav, even though it is cold. And that is the minhag, not to mix basar b'chalav. That was what the Ramah was saying. And then what emerges is very beautiful, that the Ramah concludes all of these four chumras, and the Ramah says that if hamegalo hifsit, because this was a chumrah Yiserta, but there were people who were machmer. By the way, we had this idea in Rabbi Kiva Eger himself, I believe, in the beginning of Pei Zayin, in Sif Katan Gimel. The Rabbi Kiva Eger said, "Vidligrom came biyadayim la'arei basar b'chalav lehenos mimenu ayin b'minchas Yaakov." That the Minchas Yaakov already had discussion. So anytime you were goreim something of basar b'chalav, even if it wasn't derech bishul, there were achronim that were machmer. So it seemed to me that's the emes in the Ramah over here, as the Yad Yehuda already shows us, and that answers Rabbi Kiva Eger's question as well. Yeah.
I was just bothered because I felt that Pashas and Margayel was that it wouldn't be a case of tzonin. It's more terse, but his lasha doesn't indicate that he's dealing with tzonin, and the Ramah Dar Devotion makes it sound a little bit like he thinks there's a machlokas.
Between the Marival and the Sivaheter?
Right. You just quote, which, again, you can explain that the Marival also was only talking about Tony. It just there was nothing that, if I didn't have, you know, this other thing that Sivaheter, I never would have thought the Marival is Tony.
Right. What Natan is pointing out is that the Marival says, Va'asr Bahana. And then the Isser V'Heter says, the Ein L'Hakbid Kulei Hai. So the way I'm learning based on the Yad Yehuda is the Isser V'Heter is Megala, what the Marival is talking about. And the Ramah, I would say, seems to be doing that. Because I would say that the Yad Yehuda's Pshat makes sense in the flow of the Darkei Moshe. Because if the Isser V'Heter was an entirely different world, then he wouldn't say it. And the Isser V'Heter says, Ein Lahakbid, because it sounds like he's saying that the Isser V'Heter is saying you could be Mekel in the Marival's case. Elamai, that the Asr Bahana, what they meant to say was the Asr to be Gorem Hana. And that was a minig, if you will, not to be Gorem Hana. I would say the flow of the Darkei Moshe seems to support that pshat, but you are right that in the Marival, there's no sense that we're talking about anything that's cold. Libi Omer, that's the MS for the Yad Yehuda's pshat, but I hear what you're saying. Okay, issue number three that the Rama raises. Issue number three, the Rama says as follows: Oy kasu da kli she oisin mayim lechafifas harosh, the utensil that's used to make shampoo. Ein l'shamshim bo, you shouldn't use it for food. Today we would think of that as being awful because of the chemicals. Once upon a time, shampoo didn't have chemicals. What was shampoo made out of? It was a concoction of ash. The ash probably created friction that was helpful. And some other things that were used on some level as a cleansing agent. But all of those cleansing agents were probably all different forms of food derivatives. So it's not as gross as today if you think of a pot that has been used with shampoo. So the osanosame efer shalakira. So they would use ash that they took from a stove. So what's the problem? So ash is not going to be usur. But regilus ulis arev shambasar v'chalav. On the stove, it was common to have meat and milk that would fall. In other words, it would fall into the ash. Think about a fire with a, let's say, grate on top, like the way in which people would roast at a overnight. So you have they might put down some bars, and underneath is just the wood underneath. And what would happen is the food will fall inside of the ash. So therefore, the Rama says, therefore, a kli, you shouldn't use it because it will have basar b'chalav inside. You have to be choshesh about the basar b'chalav inside. So here we have the following question. The question is, why would this be asur? You're taking the ash, and the ash has basar b'chalav. And you use the same, you cook the shampoo in this pot. So here's the kasha. The kasha is that if you have basar v'chalav with the davar apogim, so then it shouldn't make the pot asur because the ash is a davar apogim. We're going to use this all the time in Shailas of Hagolas Kelim. What we're going to do is we're going to try to get a davar apogim inside. And so that's going to remove the iser. So too over here, the ash is pogame, and it should be pogame the basar v'chalav that's going in to the pot. So here the Yad Yehuda in Tes Zayin is bothered by that question, and the Yad Yehuda suggests that what the pshat is as follows: Poshut the maril. Lo chashish kala efer, kiin the be'eshim uravim efer pogamu, ve'ein aroy leklum, ve'ein ze bishol basa chalav. A chashash l'mashenivlo mimenu achakach ba'akdera. The efer atzmo ein bo tam lifgom le'olam. So he suggests the following. He suggests that the efer, you have to say in the question mitzius, that the efer is not a powerful of enough of a pogame that will be pogame the blios of basa v'chalav into the pot. So now, you have no problem of hana'ah. You have no problem of hana'ah. But at the same time, because it was davar apogim, but the pot itself is not going to be asur. That's the pshat that the Yad Yehuda learns. It's a little bit of a ukimta, but that's the pshat that he gives. There is a brilliant, but very, very controversial piece from Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz. Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz says a brilliant yisod that comes back to something that we had in the Hakdamah Shir. In Pei Zayin Tes Vav, there's a very, very long placey. And the crazy placey suggests the following controversial chiddush that the Pri Megadim makes reference to over here in Sifkat Yuches, and a few places the Pri Megadim disagrees with it. And he suggests the following. There's parts of it that are brilliant, parts of it that are very difficult. What many times Rabbi Yonis Neivishit says very, very complicated chidushim. So Rabbi Yonis Neivishit suggests the following. He suggests that we saw in our Hakdamah Shir, the Rambam, that the Rambam points out that if you have basar b'chalav, that was good basar b'chalav, and then you added a davar apogim, So then in such a case, that would be an Iser D'Oraisa still to eat. Why? Because the Davar HaPogim just makes it that you're eating it Shelo K'derech HaNasan. But at the end of the day, you have full-fledged Basar B'Chalav just with a Davar HaPogim. So that's Shelo K'derech HaNasan. But by the Torah doesn't say Lo Sochal. It says Lo Sevashal. So Rambam taught us to tell you that you're Chayiv even Shelo K'derech HaNasan. In contrast, the Achronim explain that the Rambam would say, if you have basar v'chalav that itself becomes nisrach, so then in such a case, then that's not shalok derech hanasan. Then it's nifsal me'achila, and then in such a case, you're not going to be chayiv for basar v'chalav. That's the chiluk that the Rambam seems to make. So says the Krasi Uplasi the following chiddush. He says that in this case, you had basar b'chalav, which was basar b'chalav that was cooked together, and then you had ash that was added to it. So then it's shelo k'derech hanasan. So then that basar b'chalav that's going to go into the pot, then in such a case, that's going to be basar b'chalav. That's going to be basar b'chalav. That's going to be asur. That is what the Prima God makes reference to in Sif Katan Yud Ches. This shita of the Krasi Uplasi. And there's a big discussion. Tzemach Tzedek has a discussion whether he agrees to the Krasi Uplasi or not. I'm sharing this with you less in terms of whether I'm convinced. I'm not convinced this is the pshat in the Chumrah of the Ramah from the Iser V'Heter, from the Ma'aril. But I am sharing with you because it's a fascinating shita of the place that the place is pointing out that if you have basar v'chalav, which was basar v'chalav, full basar v'chalav, that's fine. And then you put in a davar apogim, even if it's pogim et legamri, according to the place, nevertheless, once it had the identity of basar v'chalav, then it retains its identity of basar v'chalav. And because basar v'chalav, yachayiv, even if it's shelo k'derech hanasan. The reason why I'm not convinced that's the pshat and maril is because Placey is making a big assumption, and that is that once it was basar b'chalav and it has afer that's put in it, then even when it's cooked with the afer into the pot, so then it's still considered basar b'chalav. But there, when it went into the pot, it went into the pot as blios of basar b'chalav with afer, which is pogim. So then the tam that's going to come out of the pot should be tam basar b'chalav that's pogim, and therefore shouldn't aser anything else. And that's the Achronim are mefalpel within the place. But whether the place is correct, A in Mitzius, of what happened, the place has to assume that first the Basar V'Chalav mixed with each other before the Davar HaPogim came in, and B, whether he's correct, that in such a case, it would still aser everything min HaTorah, is debatable. Okay, so that was...
It's also not mashma from Ma'aril.
That it was separate.
Lashon HaMa'aril is that sometimes the k'derus basar nishpachin uzovin al toch ha'iver.
Right.
They're each individually going into.
Right. And the place he says beferish, you have to say that they were mixed together first.
Right. So Ma'aril's
is not mashma that way.
It's not like that.
I agree. There is a very very important shach over here with important yisod, and this Emir Tzashem, I hope you will use the shach in Sif Katan Chaf. Asks an interesting question. He said, wait a second, the halacha is that the pot is going to be what? The pot is going to be asur. But what about the shampoo? The shampoo, you used the ash, turned it into shampoo, when you cooked it with leftovers of both basar v'chalav. If you cooked it with leftovers of basar v'chalav, so then the ash should be asur b'hana, because it's basar b'chalav ash, and basar b'chalav is asur ba'ana. So Rabbi Kiva Eger gives an interesting answer. Take a look at this beautiful Rabbi Kiva Eger, Shach, Chaf, not Rabbi Kiva Eger, Shach. V'hodolo mitzvah mehai tam lechafivis ha-rosh, sharei nene mishum delirchot rosho, kivan she'ena dover shalachila lo chashiv ha-na. He says, since it's not a food item, it's not considered ha-na, kivan she'ena nene migufa iser. You're not having hana from the gufa iser. The gufa iser of basar b'chalav has nothing to do, the shach argues, with his shampoo. If you were eating shampoo, Shampoo tastes good. Not nowadays they make shampoo that smells good. Maybe in a few years they'll make shampoo that tastes good. So if you're eating the shampoo, so then in such a case, then you'd be eating basar b'chalav, you'd be getting hana. So then in such a case, then maybe the halacha would be that you're, of course, you'd be considered getting hana from the basar b'chalav. But over here, since it's not food, and your body is, your hair is getting hana, but it's getting hana not from the food, it's just getting hana from the ash. And so then in such a case, then that would not be asr for hana. So the only chshash is the pot, but the shampoo itself is going to be mutter. By the way, Vamevin Yavin, the Yad Yehuda answered that question a different way by saying why the ash is mutter. Okay. The Shach brings an interesting raya, and that is in Tzadi Dala Gimel. Take a look at this in Shulchan Aruch. It's an important, this is a very important category, a very basic category. In Tzadi Dala Gimel, we have the following halacha. He said, the Mechaber says at the end of Sif Gimel, he says, a case of where you have a pot that became Aser. So I call Aser Bahana, Filu Akdeira. And the Mechaber says, Ach Mutter Lasois Lasocha Peros Otsone, Kiyun She'en Anena Migufa Yisr. Very fundamental din. If you have a pot that has become tray, you're still allowed to use it for cold items, because you're not having hana from the Gufa Yisr. Or you're allowed to put your fruit, you're allowed to use it as a fruit bowl. Now, I imagine this would revolt most holy Jewish women, that they would use a treif pot to put their fruit. But Me'ikr Dedina, you're allowed to put fruit inside, cold fruit inside a treif pot. It's not going to be a problem. And the Mechaber uses a lashon, Kiven She'en Anena Migufa Yisr. Because you're not getting hana from the Gufa Yisr. So what are we saying? You're getting hana from the pot. The pot is not Aser. What's Aser is the Blios of Aser B'chalav, the Blios of Yisr. So too over here, says the Shach. Here, you're not getting hana from the Gufa Yisr. You're not getting hana from the Gufa Yisr. You're getting hana from the Efer. You're not getting hana from the Gufa Yisr. Now, I find this Shach debatable. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced they're the same case. I'm definitely convinced that the Shach is the giant. So what I'm going to do is just point out that the Shach has told us a tremendous chiddush. I might have been mechalik between the two cases. I might have said that when it comes to the pot, so there, what is the Isser? The Isser is the Blios. A pot is just holding the Blios of Asa B'chalav. In contrast to ash, when you have tam of the ash that absorbs basar b'chalav, then that becomes basar b'chalav. In contrast to a pot can never become basar b'chalav. But ash could become basar b'chalav. But the Shach is saying no. The Shach is saying even not a pot item, any item that absorbs the isser, and you're using that item, and even when you're using it, the blios are coming out, I would add. When it comes to the case of putting the peros in, there, the blios don't come out. Here, you're using the shampoo, the blios basar b'chalav are coming out, you're just not having hana from the basar b'chalav. Says the Shach, that's the same thing. That even if the blios are going to be accessed, as long as the hana that you're having has nothing to do with the basar b'chalav, then in such a case, that would not be considered hana from basar b'chalav. Finally, we have Chumrah number 4. Chumrah number 4 reads as follows. Vilachain. So what's Vilachain? This is the first time that the Ramah connects one Chumrah to the next. He says, Vilachain, and therefore, Yesh leso gamkin l'shtamish menekter shel tanurim shebebeis achorev. You have to be careful to use pots that come out of a oven. Mishum denitzim aleim l'pam basu l'pam chalav minakderos shemivashlam betanur. Now most learn the mitzius is as follows, that you, again, large ovens, and in these large ovens there were a lot of things that were going on. One of the things that they were doing also in the large ovens is that they were putting in hot water, I would guess, for even bathing. They would leave hot, they would put large pots for bathing. So that water, also, says Ramah, be careful. that that water will have leftovers of meat and milk that will fall inside, and in such a case, you have to be choshesh that it's basar b'chalav. The Ramah concludes, u'bidyeved ein lochosh b'cholzeh, that b'dyeved, you don't have to be choshesh for all of these shitas. Why would you not have to be choshesh for the last one? So here the Darkei Moshe, of course, all of these chumras, the best way to learn them is in the Darkei Moshe himself. So Darkei Moshe points out the Svara Zaki had said earlier for an entirely different instance, and that is, if you don't know that Basa B'chalav has fallen in, so then there's no reason to create a chazaka with a reyesa. In other words, the water has a cheskas mayim. If you saw something fall in, then in such a case it's a different story. But to be machzik it for a reyesa, so then there's no reason to do that. What's the language of the Ramah? The Ramah says, the reason why Medinos Eilu were knowing Heter, Mishum de Ein Lochlosh Lahachzik Reyesa B'Davar. There's no reason to be Machzik Reyesa B'Davar. De Lo Chazina, we didn't see it. Befrat, and then he adds, Medinos Eilu Shem Regilim Kol Kach Levashol Tzosim Bosan Tanur Mokum Shak Deres Al Nos Shem. And he says, they were already more affluent. We don't use one oven. We have one oven to heat up water, another oven for the food, so it's not as likely for it to happen. But even if you have the same oven, you're not machzik reis. So this will come up also for a shaila that I alluded to before in the previous year. Let's say we mentioned spills, that if you have a spill in the fridge, so then in such a case, then a spill in the fridge could make kavush kimavusho. But the only time you have to be choshesh for that is if you machzik the reisa, that there was a real reason to believe that something had fallen in. But if there's no reason to believe that had fallen in, then there's no need to be machzik the reisa. On all of these things, the Ramah concludes that b'di'eved, one could be meiko, and more than that, he says that hamafsid, hamekel ohisid. In such a case, mekel would not be mafsid. Now, Rav Nevensal pointed out to me that all of these cases also have to be talking about kli rishon. If we're talking about anything that's a kli sheni, so then in such a case as well, then it would not be mevashel. So all of these chumras of the Ramah are only be kli rishon, are not be kli sheni, and the Prinigadim in Sifkatan Yutes says that as well. Unless you learn, like we had said before, that the pshat was that we're not talking about real bishul, but we're talking about being gorem hana. Okay, b'siyata d'shmaya, we'll stop over here. And next time, what we're going to pick up with is we'll go to the halachos of Maimon in Seifim Tes and Yud, as well as in Siv Zion, we'll discuss Shlil and Shilya. We'll discuss that and its implication for the halachos of gelatin. By the way, since the last time I taught this, following Shaila that I never thought about came up. I never imagined such a thing. That now there are some people who advocate that a woman who gives birth to imbibe the placenta of her own placenta, they turn it in some type of pill form. There's some naturalists that are really excited about this idea.
Wow. What does it give you?
What's that? Yeah, someone who is planning to do, someone. They're naturalists. The woman who asked me the shiloh also was having a home birth, wasn't doing it in hospital. And but it's common amongst some people. It sounds quite weird to my wife and I. But so here's the shiloh Rabbi Osei. Take a look at Siv Zayin. I don't even know if we'll discuss in Shir, but just to show, I never noticed this when I learned Hilchos Basar B'Chalav. But this shaila is actually connected to Basar B'Chalav. If you take a look in Siv Zayin, Hamavashel Shlil, if someone cooks a fetus B'Chalav, then it'll be Chayiv, God forbid. V'chein ha'ochlo, avol mevashel shilyu. But if you cook the placenta or hooves, so then in such a case it's potter. So the chakira being, do we consider placenta as being at all basar? And then the shayla would also be eating one's own flesh. But if it's not, maybe you go so far. What would you say about hooves? Right? So we had gidim atzamas ikri kanayin talfayim, hooves, the hooves of an animal. So conceptually, the hooves of an animal, I would say that the chidush of the pasuk that says that that's not considered gidi, is saying that's not considered basar at all. That's a fascinating question. Okay, and then Emir Tzashem, after that, we'll begin in Peches, we'll begin the Isser of Halah.
Can you tell me that the placenta be also of the ear?